to a special Saver review episode of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, we in fact were fortunate enough to go to the awesome event that is Saver. For the all of the uninitiated, it's an event that they do each year. It's about craft beer and food pairings. And it's held in a very nice facility called the National Building Museum. At least for the past few years, it's been held there. And we were very, very fortunate. So big thank you to the Saver staff for allowing us to have press passes for the event. And that's what this whole episode is about. It's about reviewing what we experienced at Saver. And, of course, we got to try some beers while we do it.
We got the beers.
Yeah. And usually what we'll do is just kind of, like, reveal the beers as we're about to crack them. But I'm going to tell you what they are right now because there's a reason for that. Now, what Saver does for everyone who attends, when they leave, they get a special 22-ounce bottle of collaboration beer. And it's a collaboration between two of the breweries that are at the event, which I think this year there were like 76 breweries represented there. So there's a lot to choose from. So we want for our final beer to try what we were given as our gift beer, which is a collaboration between Heavy Seas out of Halethorpe, Maryland, and Yards Brewing out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And they made a beer called, Filtimore. It's a combination of, obviously, Philadelphia and Baltimore, because those are their areas. And it's an English-style pale ale. So I thought it would be interesting if, for our two beers prior, we did a pale ale by Yards and a pale ale by Heavy Seas and see if we can kind of pick up some, any sort of, you know, consistencies between the two that would be like, oh, this tastes very much like the Heavy Seas style, or this is very Yards-ish. Now, the curveball a little bit is the fact that the Heavy Seas beer we have is an English-style pale ale, but the Yards pale ale we have is kind of an American-style pale ale, so going to be more on the hoppy side than the malty side, but that's what we had available. So pale ales are pale ales, even though they're not really, you know. So, Rebecca, did you have a good time at Saver?
Yes. Did I have a good time at Saver? I keep saying, I'm like, I can't wait till next year. I can't wait till next year.
I know. It was awesome. And, well, actually, I'm going to go ahead and crack open. Or you can go ahead and, well, I'll do it. I'll crack open the first beer while we talk about, overall, the venue first.
The venue.
Talk about what you liked.
I'll first talk about, you know, being a woman, you always want to know, what are you going to wear? How should I dress for any sort of event? Because if you go on the website and look at the pictures, it looked a little fancy. And on the website, it said while there was no dress code, they strive to keep it a little more fancy, I guess. And they recommend business casual to cocktail attire. So
Recommend.
So Carla and I dressed probably more towards the cocktail end. And I would say I don't want to say overdressed, but we were...
Compared to some people, yes.
Yeah.
Overdressed, quite.
But
there were some people there in very nice clothing.
I saw some guys in suits.
Like,
Yeah, and there were definitely... At first, I was kind of nervous because we were one of the first couple people there, and I was like, oh, we really overdressed, I think. But then as other people started trickling in, I was like, okay, I think we're a little more on par, but there were definitely some people there in like baseball jerseys and shorts and sneakers. And
well, that's what happens when you don't mandate a dress code.
Yeah, so
I honestly wouldn't say is a bad thing about
no.
it. It's kind of whatever. I mean, you figure out what your own experiences that you want to have,
yeah.
You know.
But the venue itself was just beautiful. These large pillars and the detail of the architecture is just beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it's an awesome museum on the inside. It's a great place to have an event like that. And one of the things for me about this particular venue, other than the fact that it looked awesome and they really dressed it up nicely, was the fact that when at a lot of beer tasting events, you feel very crowded. You know,
yeah.
you're in this giant crowd and you can barely move. There were a decent amount of people there because it sold out for both nights. They do it two nights on a Friday and a Saturday night. And we were there on a Saturday. And it was sold out both nights, so it was full, but there was still so much elbow room there. You could go up, get your beer pours, and then just walk to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you can even stand right where you were and people weren't invading your space. Yeah. It was nice. I appreciated.
It depended where you were. There were definitely times where I would stand there and, like, you were getting kind of, like, elbowed, but there was definitely enough space that you could kind of go on the outskirts and have, you know, space.
Yeah, yeah. So the way they kind of set it up is they had, you know, all the main supporter breweries in the center around a giant table, and that's where you had, like, your Dogfish Heads, your Allagash, your Sierra Nevada, Schlafly, Sam Adams, you name it, all the big names, who are throwing money at the event, which is a great thing to fund. It's for the industry, it's for craft beer, you know? So, they had that, and then they had a bunch of, like, smaller tables around the outside, that were grouped, and I think there were 16 smaller tables, something like that, and each table had four breweries represented there. And I just thought the setup was pretty good.
The setup was nice, and it was very easy to find. If you were looking for a particular brewery, it was very easy to find.
Yeah, the signs were high enough. The signs were
great, yeah.
Yeah, they had high up enough signs, and it was white text on black signs, so very easy to see. They thought about a lot of aspects, mm-hmm. In my opinion, which, that, you know, they've been doing this for some years, so.
Yeah. Wait, is this the 8th?
You probably know better than I would, because I did not even look at that, so. I don't know if it's on their program, which we actually have here.
I feel like it's the 8th. I feel like when I was in my one session, they said it's the 8th event.
Okay, the 8th year. Well, to me, what kind of sets this apart
is
8th year.
Cool. It's confirmed.
Yeah, so they've been doing it for some time, so they know what they're doing. And it shows. It really does. It what sets us apart from other events is that it's about food and beer pairing together. And it was very interesting to have that thrown in there because most places you go, it's just about solely the beer. So here you could taste the beer, then taste the food and taste the beer with the food and see how it evolves, how it changes, which I really like that. And it's important because I think craft beer really needs to start being talked about as a better alternative to wine. With meals, honestly.
Which I'm going to talk about in our next
episode. In our next, because we're doing two episodes, just to let you know, we're doing two episodes about Sabre because they had these things there they call salons, which are basically classes you can take, and they have a bunch of different topics. Rebecca went to one that was one topic, I went to a separate topic. So our next episode after this will be about what we learned at our salons and what they're
about.
But
we won't tell you what they are. You'll have to
not yet.
Tune in next week.
And of course, we'll be trying beers on that one, too. Yeah. And actually, all beers we'll be trying on the next episode were at Sabre. The beers we have here, only one of them was at Sabre, which was the collaboration one. But
okay, let's start drinking here.
Let's drink and then we'll continue to talk.
And we are drinking out of our Sabre glasses.
Yeah, the glasses they gave were very nice glasses. They're kind of like a hybrid wine beer glass.
It's like a tulip, kind of. So again, this is the Yards.
Yards Pale Ale.
Philadelphia Pale Ale.
Yes. And they say non-traditional pale ale is the style of it, so I guess they're...
What does that mean?
Well, they probably just don't want to say it's definitely an American pale ale, or it's definitely an English style. They just kind of want to put it somewhere in between, so it's their own thing. So
yellow. It looks like a beer.
Yeah, it looks like it. If you think like what a typical beer looks like, it's very... It's got a little bit of an orange tinge, but very yellow.
Yeah.
And when you swirl it up, you get a nice... big pillowy white head to it, and it smells pretty hoppy.
Mm-hmm. It smells really good.
There's a bit of a citrus in there, a little bit of like an orange rind. There's
like some pineapple.
Yeah, there is a slight pineapple. There's some hay. There are definitely like nice hay notes in there. Like it's kind of pilsnery. Smells fresh and crisp, mm-hmm. and yeah, just kind of nice. So I'll let you go ahead and sip it and say what you're thinking. What are you getting out of it?
It's not as crisp as I thought it was going to be based on the nose.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little more malty.
Yeah, it is more malty than it comes off in the nose, which makes it kind of finish very honey-like mm-hmm. on the end. Very, very honey. And it's got that kind of Pilsner malt finish to it. I'm trying to see if I'm picking up much like the citrus that I was getting or anything. It's very light on the body. It's okay. Yeah. I'm not huge on it. It's got a little bit of a bittering finish that's getting a little too strong for my liking. The bitterness just keeps building after I'm sitting without, you know, taking any more sips. So this kind of is a beer that just makes you want to take more and more sips to get rid of that bitter flavor, in my opinion.
It's okay. I'm going to get back to talking about the event.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just, like, so jazzed about it because it was just so much fun.
It was recent. I mean, yeah, when we're recording this, it was just two days ago.
But it literally was, like, I don't know, you go to, like, a lot of, like, beer or wine festivals, and you hit a couple things that are good, but this was just, like, good beer after good beer after good beer. Like, Carlin wanted to make, like, our top 10 of each, of his top 10 and my top 10 of what we tasted, and it was really hard because there were so many good beers that we had.
But what we did do, we were very diligent. We moved fast. Like, we did not hang out at tables long at all. We were trying to try as much as possible, and I will say that I tried 34 beers. I believe, Rebecca, I think you tried a little more, maybe 35 or 36.
Yeah, it was a little rough at the end of the night.
It was, but at the same time, when they were pouring, it was like 2-ounce pours, and we would share a lot of the time.
Yeah, except just like at my salon, they were pouring
a lot. Yeah.
Way more than 2-ounce pours, and this was like at the end of the night, and I was sitting in the middle of the table, and I was like, I need that dump bucket, because I already know I can't consume this much.
Well, and you, you just drank the pours, I guess, but I was in mine, and they were trying to give us large pours, and I actually told them, I said, you know, I'm taking notes, I need to stay on top of things, so I'll definitely take some, but I want to...
I haven't looked at my notes from my salon,
so... You don't know if they're coherent
or not. I know I was writing very large and not straight, and I hope I can make sense of it.
One of the things I loved about it, in addition to what we've already talked about, is that you had huge breweries, and they were bringing some exciting stuff, and you had small breweries that you'd never even heard of, and they were also bringing some exciting stuff. I feel like pretty much everybody was trying to bring something interesting. You would see on the list some breweries where you were like, why did they just bring that? Because that's their staple. Like, that's normal. Like, that's already out. It's nothing special. But I guess it's just kind of like what you want to do.
Yeah.
But it's a great event to be able to try all sorts of stuff. And since they're small pours, you can go around and hit as much as possible. But we were busy the entire time. And as we would taste, we would put down our Brutal Battle ratings. We actually did the number ratings on every beer that we tasted on a notepad. So I was like furiously writing, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to give it this. Rebecca, what do you give it? And writing some tasting notes as well on it. So it was fast and furious, but it was a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And like the very, very first beer we tried.
Fremont Brewing.
Yeah. Which was my second top beer, and Carlin's fourth.
Yeah. And we'll go over the list.
Oh, okay. Am I jumping ahead?
A little bit, but that's fine.
Okay.
Not a big deal. You can talk about it.
Oh, okay. It was by Fremont, the Coffee Cinnamon Bourbon Abominable.
Which, on the website and in the program they gave you, it says that it's a strong ale, but it seemed very much like stout porter-ish to me.
He called it a winter warmer, I believe, when he poured it.
That's what it said on Untappd when I checked into it the next day, is it said it was a winter warmer. So, I mean, call it what you want.
It was a great first beer to start off. Like, it had so many great... The nose was just a lot of cinnamon, but it didn't overwhelm you like a lot of the spiced beers. It was just... really nice.
Yeah. One thing, a few other things I wanted to say about, you know, the actual venue itself, which are, one, I think they did a really good job keeping the dump buckets emptied and keeping the water for rinsing your glasses full. And that's a big thing too. A lot of, you know, beer events, you don't get to have a place to rinse your glass. And that's what's nice about this, is they're really focusing on the integrity of the beer when you're going to try it. You know, you want to rinse out what was in there so that you can taste pretty fresh your next pour.
Well, and some of the breweries were actually doing that for you.
Correct. Fremont did that.
Fate also did that.
Yeah, that's right, they did.
And I thought that was really interesting, too, because here's our breweries that are really dedicated to making sure you taste something that's going to show them their best foot forward, you know, making sure that you're not drinking anything that might be tainted. So.
Well, especially for the smaller breweries, I would think this is a huge chance. You know, they're, and especially because a lot of them were from nowhere around here. You know, like, they don't have distribution in Maryland, so... And a lot of them were, like, West Coast. You know, we have some from, like, Colorado, you know, out in that area, California, stuff like that. And their distribution doesn't go this far. Maybe they're trying to see if there's interest all the way out here.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're coming into this market and tasting people where people aren't even familiar with who they are, they want to put their best foot forward. I would want to, sure.
Yeah. Well, then there was, what was that one brewery from Wisconsin? And they don't even... distribute outside of Wisconsin.
I'm not sure
which one. That did the bacon bomb.
Oh, that's a Brenner.
Brenner.
Brenner Brewing.
Yeah, so sometimes it was hard to determine if this is just a small brewery or is it just one that we don't know of because we can't get their product.
And there were some of those as well.
Yeah, so.
Well, like Brenner, you know, you brought them up. One of the things I thought was very interesting about Brenner is they were perfect for this event because... the guy who was there, who I believe was probably the head brewer.
Yeah.
The smaller breweries, their head brewers were there. Some of the bigger ones, too. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, he said that the beers are made to be paired with food. So I tried, we tried both of the beers that they had there, and they had, like, the Bacon Bomb, which was, like, a Rausch beer, smoked Rausch beer. And they also had another one.
It was a wild sour ale.
Oh, yes, it was. It was called Maiden Opus.
Maiden Opus.
Is what it was called. And... it was very apparent that, yes, they were made to go with food because I tried them, and I know Rebecca tried them, and we were kind of like, you know, like, we weren't huge on the beers. But then once we ate the food and then we tried them, we're like, oh, that really, mm-hmm. like, kicked it up. And, you know, you can really see that. And I think that's a situation where it's great to know that kind of thing about a brewery. So it would kind of suck if you... tasted their stuff and you didn't know that because you'd just be like, oh, you know, this beer's decent, but it's not like
some
amazing.
People might like it.
Right. Well, then that's true. But...
like I like the Maiden Opus by itself.
But knowing that it's supposed to be paired with food, I feel like that's the way I want it then.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what the brewer intends.
Yeah.
And it truly does bring out more flavor when it was paired with the food.
It's just kind of like any sort of art, you know, like what is the meaning behind it, or what's the intent? What's the
you want to be able to interpret it the way the artist intended?
Yeah.
So, well, we'll keep talking, but let's real quick open up this Powder Monkey Pale Ale, English style pale ale by Heavy Seas, which Heavy Seas is local to us.
Oh man, hold on, I'm not done this.
You better slam that nooner, as we say. Look, Heavy Seas is local to us. I've been drinking Heavy Seas for years. A lot of people out there, if you're not from Maryland, you probably have not had Heavy Seas before. But they make some nice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some good stuff there. But this is their English-style pale ale.
Hold on. Rinse my glass.
Oh. Get your water.
Let's cross the tape.
When I think last year, the collaboration beer was like Firestone Walker and Flying Dog.
Ooh.
So I think so it looks like these past 2 years, they took... breweries that are based out of Maryland and paired them with someone else. So I kind of like that, you know, being a Maryland person. But all right. The coloration, I already see significantly more orange.
I was
more malty
red.
Looking. You can tell it's more malty. It's an English style pale ale in comparison to the Yards one that we had. But once again, it's Powder Monkey Pale Ale. Oh, I should say the Yards Pale Ale was 4.6% ABV. And this Powder Monkey is, I don't even know if it says, or if it's on, it's always hard to figure out where they're trying to put the ABVs on this. Actually, I don't think they do it. Oh, 4.8.
Yeah,
so it's only 0.2 difference.
Yeah.
So very, very clear, very orange looking. Got a little bit of a white head when you swirl.
See, the Powder Monkey is a special beer because it's the beer that Carlin and I drank at the Baltimore Aquarium.
It is.
Hey, that's funny. You poured me exactly 2 ounces.
No, I wasn't even trying. Okay, so what do you smell on that?
I get a lot of banana.
Yeah, and that's... I wanted to see what you were going to say because I was like, I feel like I'm smelling banana.
Oh, gosh,
and
that's all I got.
I don't know if I'm crazy. it's banana-y. It's got a little bit of like a...
Then I guess we're both crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy in love.
It smells a little bit like a very dialed back version of like a Bananas Foster, because you know Bananas Foster has like some char to it. It's got the caramel, little caramelized sugar on there.
I can see that.
It kind of smells like a caramelized banana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It smells pretty decent. There's a little bit of like a hop presence in there, a little pininess, a little bit of a citrusy aspect to go in there as well.
I already started drinking
that's
it.
That's faint. And there's a little bit of an orangey note at the end. All right, what do you think of
this? I like this better than I remembered.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
It could be because we're drinking out of fancy glasses, and the last time I had it, weren't we drinking out of a plastic cup?
Yes. Yeah. That is true.
I don't know.
That could make a difference.
I don't know.
Glassware does make a difference, especially, you know, these special glasses that we're using, it helps filter the aromas toward your nose, and it does that while you're drinking, too. Yeah. And the aroma is part of tasting. So when you have a, you know, a plastic cup, it flanges outward. So when you're going to take a sip, the aromas are going around your face as opposed to this where it's filtering to your nose.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. Carlin was saying, I don't know if we're going to like the Filtmore because it's English-style pale ale. We might not like
it. Yeah, and typically I'm not huge on English-style pale
ale. I'm excited to try it now.
I mean, it's good to know that that's what it is because people know that when we taste blind on the show, if we don't know it's a English style pale ale, I'll just be like, eh.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, my thing. But you didn't talk about the types of flavors you're getting out of the Powder Monkey. I'm getting some caramelly aspect, a little bit of that, like burnt sugarish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tastes a tad bit banana-y, actually.
I got a little more like the taste is a little more like that toffee caramel.
Okay. Yeah, a very light version of that.
But, yeah, it was very light. Like, it's not kind of a thin mouth feel. It's not, like, super heavy. It's I find this to be easier to drink than the Yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so, too. And the more I taste it, I get a little bit of a grassy note on there and a little bit of, like a bitterness, kind of like an orange rind as well. So,
yeah. We've said a lot of positive things about Seaver.
I want to say one big negative
thing. I want to say one big negative.
One big negative that I hope gets solved in the next few years.
The speed of which the food was refilled.
Terrible. Yes.
I wouldn't say terrible.
Pretty bad.
It was. I think it was so hard because there were so many people there.
Right, but they just did it the night prior. So.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Know. I don't know. And again, I don't have experience running an event like that, so I'm sure there are a lot of things behind the scenes, right. And it's a lot to coordinate,
yes.
But it was, you know, I wanted to be able to enjoy my beer with the food.
Because that's the
that
name
was the
of
purpose,
the event.
Yeah.
That's the point.
But oftentimes it didn't happen, or I know, you know, they're like, oh, this is a really great pairing. I'm like, oh, I wish it was here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the food was barely... I mean, sometimes it was there, sometimes it wasn't. It was a real crapshoot. And the amount that they were bringing out at the time was very little, that as soon as it was set down, it was gone in like 5 minutes or less.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they need to change something there, maybe bring out more at a time, start working earlier. I don't know. But in my opinion, too, when the food was getting out there, it wasn't even warm. It was just like... It was either cold or room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, when you bring it out, just bring out a large amount and sit it because it was cold anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is I wonder if there's cons to that though too, because then what if they put out everything they have and then it's gone?
Right. I can
you
see
know?
That.
So,
but even though like I was saying that it was like room temperature or cold, the food still tasted
good.
Oh,
the food was,
it was good.
Very,
food.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. It was still good. So, my biggest problem really is just the availability of the food.
Yeah.
The fact that it wasn't stocked all that great. But when we could have the food with the beer, it was awesome. But
It
is a little more minor to me just because, to me, I focus so much on the beer.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't such a negative that, like, oh my God, I'm not going to go back.
Right.
Like, I'm still extremely excited about next year.
I still think this was a phenomenal event, and I think it will continue to be a phenomenal event, and I would recommend it to anyone who would like to do it. Now, the price is a little much, but if you have the money to spend, if you're okay with spending that money, it is well worth it. It's $135 per ticket. and an extra $20 per ticket if you want to do the salons. So, you know, make your choice.
Birthday present.
Yeah,
anniversary.
yeah, I mean,
we spent the night down there, obviously. Cause...
And if you can put back a lot of alcohol, you will be able to put back a lot of alcohol there if you want to. Or you can do like how we tried to do it, is you take it kind of slow, you split up the tastes so you can try as much as possible before the night's over.
Now, there were a couple ones that we did our own tasting. One of them was the Surly Barrel Aged Darkness, which apparently they ran out of on both nights.
Yeah. That's a very well-known beer. So, Rebecca will tell you, I did a little too much prep. Well, actually, I feel like it was a good amount. Rebecca felt like it was a little too much at the time, I believe.
I was like we're driving down there, and he's like, okay, what do you want to do? And he was like writing down what tables we're going to go to, what beers are paired with what pairing are you most excited for? And I was like, Jesus, like, can we just get there?
But the good thing about it is that by the time, since I had done so much of that, by the time I got there, I knew just by looking at a brewery, in my mind, they do or do not have something I want to try.
Yeah. So, I think having some sort of game plan is probably a good idea, because you might be sad, you know, if they're going to be...
No, having a game plan is a must, in my opinion, if you care about certain beers.
Yeah, okay, exactly. But, I mean, for some people, if you just want to go and enjoy yourself and whatever happens, happens. Right. You know, I think that's fine, too. Good. You're going to have a good time no matter what.
Right.
But if there are going to be highly sought-after beers that you want to make sure you taste, I would get there first.
Yeah, if you're like, I want Surly, I want Cigar City,
yeah,
you know, things like that. And those were the big ones. Like, the Surly Darkness, the Barrel Aged Darkness 2014 version of Darkness was gone really fast. We were fortunate because media got in 45 minutes early, so we were able to try it before
there was everyone a line.
Else got in.
Because there was a big huge line.
Yeah, and it went fast.
So we each got a taste of that.
We also were fortunate to get to Cigar City before there was any line, and then actually probably about 2 minutes after we got our pours at Cigar City, there was a line.
Yeah.
You do need to do that ahead of time and look at what's going to be popular and hit that first.
There were a couple breweries we waited in line for. Yazoo
for a little bit.
There was
yeah.
a little bit of a line. But we met some cool people from Brooklyn Brewery.
Yeah, we did. So waiting fun. In that line.
Yeah.
yeah.
So there was just a lot of, cool people. I was telling Carlin, going into a women's bathroom, you typically don't hear women talk beer. And you walked... I went into the bathroom, and there were just lots of women talking, a serious shop about beer. It was just so cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. Awesome, awesome. Well, I want to talk about, then, the beers that... we had as our top 10 each individually.
Okay. Which I've mentioned a couple of them already.
Yeah, and we can say a little bit about them if we feel like saying something about them. And, you know, yours will be a little bit of a recap, because I'll just do mine first okay. and then you can do yours. And then I'm going to tell all the listeners the overall for the show, because I said we did our number ratings while we were there, and I averaged those together, and we came up with a brutal battle definitive list of the top 10. Now, keep in mind, there were 76 breweries there, and they each brought two beers, so we did not try them
yeah,
all.
Yeah, so sorry.
We probably tried, of that, 32 of the offerings, so yeah. It's a very small sample.
I'm sure there were lots that we did not try that were amazing.
There were a few that I wish we had gotten to, Four Hands. I know Four Hands
had we've had some of their stuff, and it's really good.
Yes, been very good. They had their Madagascar Stout, which I heard great things about. There was Country Boy. I wanted to hit them, and we missed them. And they had a barrel aged porter I wanted to try. Allagash. They had a sour that I wanted to try. I mean, it's a pretty big. Well, there are a decent amount of breweries we didn't get to, and we wanted to, but that's what happens. My number 10 beer that I liked most of what I had out of 32 basically was Cigar City's Cubano Espresso Brown Ale. Now, Cigar City's out of Tampa, Florida, if anybody doesn't know. And it was basically just a brown ale with a lot of coffee notes to it. It was very well put together. My number 9 was Drake's Scarlet Obretta Flanders Red. Now, Drake's is out of San Leandro, California. They do not distribute over here, so it was great to try their stuff. It was, I think, one of two Flanders Reds there. And it was really good. The sourness was so nice. There was a bit of a funk from the Brett. awesome. And the brewer was there, and he, John Galluli, I think his name is. Real nice guy. He said he was very happy with this beer. I was very happy with this beer. My number eight was the Upland Brewing out of Bloomington, Indiana. Their Dantalian Dark Sour. That was really interesting. I think I wrote that I got a lot of blackberry flavors out of it, in addition to some nice cherry sourness in there. That was really good. Number seven for me was Cigar City again with their Cafe Americano Double Stout, a very coffee, chocolatey stout, and they had chocolate.
Oh, that was paired with amazing chocolate.
Yes, and when you had that, it just made it even creamier,
mm-hmm.
and it was awesome.
I don't know if it was one of the brewers from Cigar City who was there said it tastes like a fudgesicle.
It kind of was.
Yeah, like that. It was so good.
My number six was probably the biggest surprise of the whole thing for me. The brewery that I liked the most overall because of what they brought, and they wowed me, Fate Brewing out of Boulder, Colorado. I had heard of them, and they were therefore on my short list of breweries to check out. But I was pretty floored by what they brought. So the number six was the Fate Tequila Barrel Aged Uror Goes. Their Goza, aged in tequila barrels. It gave, I think the barrel gave that, the Goza, like a nice caramelly note to it. And you got a little bit of like a woody aspect too. And that went so well with the salinity and the sourness of the Goza. I liked it a lot. That was a hell of a beer. Plus, that's crazy. Like, who thinks of a tequila barrel-aged Goza, you know? Number five for me was by another brewery I had really been wanting to try out of Oakland Park, Florida, was Funky Buddha. Now, this beer is their last snow porter. Probably one of the best porters I've ever had in my life. It had a lot of coconut aspects to it, which it paired unbelievably with German chocolate cake that they had there for it.
The German chocolate cake itself was amazing, and the beer was amazing, and then together it was like home run.
yeah. And so Funky Buddha, that was amazing. That porter floored me. Both of us, I think. My number four was, as Rebecca spoke of it earlier, Fremont Brewing out of Seattle, Washington. Their coffee cinnamon bourbon barrel aged abominable, which it wasn't overspiced. I liked that the cinnamon was under control. The bourbon was also under control. And they had said that it was aged in Elijah Craig barrels. And it was 1, 2, and 3 year mm-hmm. aged, blended. So a lot of work went into that beer, and it shows. It was very, very tasty. That's why it's my number four. My number three, Fate Brewing again. Their Morai, I think. Coffee IPA. This was an IPA with so much coffee flavor.
It's crazy.
Phenomenal. and they let us know that it was done with cold-pressed Ethiopian blend coffee.
From a local place to them.
Yeah, and smart to go with Ethiopian blend because typically African roasts are sweeter coffees, and that just went so well in that IPA. It was like awesome.
Something that you typically don't think of with an IPA.
Yeah.
I wonder how this is going to be. And it just was, that's on my list too.
Yeah, it was so good. And that's why that was my number three. Number two, Sam Adams. They brought their Cosmic Motherfunk Lambic. That was phenomenal. Such a great sour beer. I had heard of the Cosmic Motherfunk. I knew what it was. I didn't know how good it was. I was just like, Sam Adams doing a sour. Because I'd had their Stony Brook Red, and I really liked that. So I'm like, I gotta try this Cosmic Motherfunk. Awesome. That was a very, very good beer. And as you can tell, that it must be as my number two. And just behind my number one, which was Surly Brewing out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, their Barrel-Aged Darkness 2014 version. So that was amazing. Very dark, chocolatey, heavy body to it, bourbony. There was a burn to the bourbon, but not too much. It was good.
Yeah.
So, Rebecca.
That's obviously my number one as well. I liked it so much. I was like, can we go back and get more? And then the line was so big, and I was like, no, I don't want to wait in line, and I would feel bad taking it from someone who didn't get to try it because it was that good.
Well, Rebecca's ranking, she has a lot of the same, but she also has some different ones. A
couple different ones. Okay, so my number 10 is the Schlafly Apricot Berliner Weiss. Schlafly's out of St. Louis.
I thought that was really good, too. That almost made my list. It was close.
It was. I love Berliner Weiss. I don't like a lot of sour beers, but that's one I do like.
It's like a lighter sour. But the apricot in that was so present. I actually said to the guy who was pouring it, who kind of looked at me like, yeah, whatever. I was just like, it's like I can picture like when you bite into an apricot and you get a little bit of like the fuzz from the flesh of it in your mouth. Like I felt like I was getting that in the flavors.
He probably was like, how much have you had to drink already, buddy?
He was probably like, are you on acid or something? Like, what's wrong with you?
Okay. Number 9 is Finback Star Child American Wild Ale. They're out of Glendale, New York. I didn't write tasting notes.
That had some raspberry, like some dark raspberry notes with its nice sourness. That was a pretty good one. And if I remember, I think it paired pretty well with whatever food it was paired with. Which I have written down like the best and worst pairings.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
But
number 8 is Due South Category 5 IPA. Out of
Boynton Beach, Florida. That was a really good IPA.
Yeah, you like that. I'm kind of surprised it's not on your list.
That was close, too. Yeah.
Because you really like that. Number 7, Heavy Seas Blackbeard's Breakfast Barrel-Aged Coffee Imperial Porter. Yeah. And again, they're out of Halethorpe, Maryland. Yeah. I think, while the beer was very, very good, I think I'm also partial because the pairing was a rice pudding with cardamom and cinnamon.
Yes.
And the pairing was just...
Yeah,
actually,
it was really good.
I was off today from work, and I was thinking, I'm like, I need to make rice pudding because I want to eat it with that while I drink that beer.
Yeah, because we did pick up a bottle at a liquor store afterward.
It's quite
a nice beer.
Number 6 is I have the Funky Buddha Last Snow Porter. Carlin already talked about that one. My number 5 is the Fate Tequila Barrel Aged Goza. Number 4, I have Cigar City's Coffee Americano Double Stout. Number 3, I have Fate, the Coffee IPA. Number 2, this is what we're going to repeat a lot, Fremont, the Coffee Cinnamon Bourbon Abominable. And number 1 was Surly Darkness.
Yeah. Surly went very fast for a very good reason.
It was.
Yeah, so that was it. I'll read a little bit later. At the end, I'll read what the overall top beers are for our for the podcast and the numbers that they have, the actual Brutal Battle show style ratings that they achieved, which should be cool. But
you want to talk a little bit about the
I'll talk about pairings. The pairings, like what pairings were good and bad. In some instances, the food pairings really were not good, but more often than not, I think they were quite good. The best ones, in my opinion, in both of our opinions, because I took it from our notes, the Cigar City Cafe Americano with the chocolate. Which we already talked about. The Last Snow Porter with the German chocolate cake, which, also talked about. Yeah. The Blackbeard's Breakfast with the rice pudding.
Oh, which we already talked about.
Yes.
All desserts.
Yeah. Weird. Well, no, not quite. Oh. The Sam Adams Cosmic Motherfunk with pork belly and apple fennel salad.
Mm-hmm.
That went very well together. Very, very good. Uplands Brewing's their Vino Synth Red Sour was with some sea scallops with herb lemon vinaigrette. That was also a very good one that we enjoyed. Upland brought two very nice sours. The Vino Synth was also close to making our top 10, both of us. The pairings that were not so hot, I actually only had two, so that's pretty good. The Barrel Aged Pay It Forward Cocoa Porter by West 6th out of Lexington, Kentucky. That barrel-aged porter was pretty good.
Yeah.
But then when they had a piece of chocolate with it, when you had the piece of chocolate, it killed any chocolatey aspects that you got in the barrel-aged porter, and it was just like all alcohol after that. And it was a very bad pairing, honestly.
Was this you said this was the one from Kentucky?
Yes, one of them. There were a bunch of breweries from Kentucky. There were like 3 or 4.
Okay.
And then the other one that did not work well at all was Schmaltz Brewing out of Clifton Park, New York. their Funky Jubilation, which was a soured version of actually a bunch of their beers blended, which was, I liked. I thought it was a good beer, but it was served with like this whipped brie with kumquat on it. And it just, like, I tasted the beer and I was like, oh, that's good. And then I tasted that, the food, and went back to the beer and I was like, oh, that's terrible after it. And I think you were trying to remember what beer it was. I think that was the one you said tasted like Vaseline.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you didn't try it before you had your bite of the food. You ate the food and then you tried it. And I think that's the one it was. And yes, it tasted like Vaseline after that. It was not good. And like dirty dish rag too. But before that, it was really good.
I should have taken my own tasting notes.
Yeah, basically.
I was more interested in enjoying myself.
I was kind of the taskmaster. Yeah. I was just trying to get things done. But I had a great time, though, too.
So. Yeah. And again, just one note about the pairings, and I'll talk about this, a little sneak peek from what my salon was about. But any sort of pairing, you know, it's individual taste, individual preference. Right. You know, what might be a great pairing to one person might be terrible to someone else. Right.
These were just the ones we agreed upon to say we both did not like this one.
Well, we did
like this one. So
yeah,
I think it's time to
crack. Okay, let's open it up. I'm excited.
Biltimore. This very special beer that I don't think they're going to be making any more of it. So it was just for savor, which I really like that aspect. You know, you get a fun little parting gift. Okay, so right off the bat, Rebecca, it's like it does look like a mix between the two pale ales that we had. It's the coloration is right in between.
Yep.
Those two.
And that's exactly what I was thinking as you were pouring it.
It's not as dark as that Powder Monkey, and it's not nearly as light as the Yards, and it's orangish, but it's got a little bit of a yellowy aspect to it. It's got a pretty decent white pillowy head when you swirl it up, too. Very see-through. You go right through that.
And one thing I wanted to comment on was I think the label of this is very creative.
It is.
It has a Liberty Bell, and then kind of like the outline of like the bay, like that you typically see coming up into Maryland. And then you have like Baltimore and then Philadelphia and like a line connecting it. And I think this is kind of cute too, because I-95 runs up and down the East Coast, and it says it's an I-95 collaboration for savor.
Yep, sure is. Have you smelled it?
No.
Yeah, I did. It smells, I get a little bit of a carameliness, like a little bit of a, it's very, very faint, but a little bread pudding-ish aspect to it, like a biscuitiness with that kind of roasty caramel, kind of like a bread pudding.
Yeah. It's 5.5 ABV. I think this is, I was reading the label, it's kind of cute because it, you know, it's an English inspired and American hopped. And then it says, next on the list, a crab cake cheesesteak. I think that's kind of
That'd be interesting. What else do you get on? Do you get anything else on there?
Yeah, I'm getting a little... Did you say banana?
No, I didn't. But I could see a little of that. I'm getting like an earthy, piney note on there, too.
I'm getting something. I can't put my finger on it.
I get a little bit of that kind of Pilsner-ish finish on the nose, too.
It has a very clean nose.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But it's like that caramel keeps poking through at the end, like the biscuity aspect, breadiness, and that's nice. That excites me about this.
Okay, I'm drinking. We're going in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It finishes a lot more pilsnery than I thought it was going to.
Like really yeasty and bready and
real yeasty, real bready, biscuity. Very drying on the tongue. Super drying. It's making it taste hay-like.
I like this.
I'm in the middle. I don't think it's great. I actually think I like the Powder Monkey more than this.
I like this more. I don't know why. I kind of like that drying aspect.
I will say this about it. It starts building up on the bitterness at the end. But then the drying aspect of it takes the bitterness down.
Well, and then I feel like that aftertaste is all that the breadiness. Mm-hmm. And like I feel like you can just picture eating like lots of like breadsticks. And
I mean, it tastes a little bit like toast to me in a way. But
I like it. I like it. It could be I like it more than because Carlin kept being like, I don't think we're gonna like this. So
oh yeah, so your expectations were low. Or
I had like no, I was like, I'm not gonna like this at all.
I'll drink it. I'm not huge on it, but that's, I really think that's because I'm just not big into English style pale ales in general. But I did enjoy the Powder Monkey more, but
I like this more.
Well, there you go. We're split on it.
I know.
That's all right.
But do we rate, are we going to rank these like we normally
do? Yeah, we can. I think just listening to it, people are going to know what for you, it's the Filtamore Powder Monkey than Yards.
Yeah.
For me, it's the Powder Monkey, Filtamore, and then Yards. I mean,
sorry, Yards.
Yeah. Sorry, Yards. Yeah. There was a time some years ago I had a cherry stout by Yards that I remember enjoying quite a bit.
Hmm.
So there you go. I'll just throw that out to make them feel a little bit better. They probably don't care, though. All right. So to wrap everything up, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the overall top 10 for Brutal Battle. You can probably guess some of them, but the positioning might be a little bit weird because what I did is I took Rebecca's number, I took my number, and like we usually do on the show, you know, you average them out to see where they are. And I'll tell you what the number. Okay, so number 10, what we did is we had some that were the same number averaged out, and we negotiated and figured out which one we thought should be above the other. So number 10 overall, Heavy Seas Blackbeard's Breakfast. With an overall of a 5.5. Number 9, Due South's Category 5 IPA, with also an overall of 5.5. Number 8, Upland Brewing's Dantalian Dark Sour, also with a 5.5. Number 7, with a 6, Sam Adams' Cosmic Motherfunk Lambic. It dropped quite a bit from my ranking because Rebecca wasn't, she's not big on sours, but it's on there. Also with a 6 and in the 6th spot, Fate's Tequila Barrel Aged Urgoza. Number 5, also with an overall of 6, was the Funky Buddha Last Snow Porter. With an overall of 6.5, sitting at number 4, was the Cigar City Cafe Americano Double Stout. With an overall of 7, at number 3, was the Fremont Brewing Abominable, which was the coffee cinnamon bourbon barrel-aged Abominable. With an overall of 7 as well, at number 2 was the Fate Morai Coffee IPA. And number 1 overall, you could probably guess it, with an overall of 7.5, was the Surly Barrel-Aged Darkness. So, high. I mean, these are high numbers. And I think that speaks to what you had said before, that there really were not bad beers there. Mm-mm. There really weren't. I mean, it was.
Well, and there were some, you know, that Carlin liked more than I and vice versa, just depending on our personal taste. But there's definitely a beer for everyone there.
Mm-hmm. Because of the style, I think mainly I'm let down by the Filtamore because I feel like everything I tried at Sabre was better than this beer.
Oh.
For my personal taste.
I could see that.
Yeah. So, well, but it was an awesome experience.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, and we're going to be doing another one.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, yeah. You were going to say you're already thinking about next year. Oh, I'm already like,
okay, next year.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna go ahead and finish these beers when we get off this podcast. And please stay tuned for the next week because we're going to talk about the salons we went to. And if we forgot any tidbits about Sabre, we'll throw some extras in there. But I will say that all three beers we're going to be trying for the next episode were at Sabre. None of these were except the Filtamore, but the ones for next episode all were there. In one way or another, they were there.
Okay, I already forget what we got.
Yeah, well, I'll remind you after we stop recording, because I don't want to let the cat out of the bag right now. We won't do on that one what we did here, which was tell everyone up front. We'll do it as we go. So.
And ladies, if you go to Sabre, wear comfortable shoes.
Oh, yeah, that was another thing. Wear comfortable shoes. And guys, if you can dress as light on the clothing as possible. It does get kind of warm because they have some very large lights in there that heat things up, plus just all the people from their body heat. It just happens. But
yeah.
Awesome, phenomenal event. I hope we can go back next year as media. Hint, hint, thank you, Sabre. But thanks so much, and stay tuned next week. But in the meantime,
keep it brutal. Coming to us, paralyzed. Why not go?
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.